And the top story, the family of Fusilier Lee Rigby will finally find out today how long his killers will spend behind bars. Michael Adebolajo and Michael Adebowale will be sentenced this afternoon after a court found the two men guilty of the Middleton soldiers' murder. But it's been a long process to get to the final legal stages. BBC Radio Manchester's Claire Freeman explains now the timeline of events over the past 10 months.
In December last year, two men were found guilty of the murder of a soldier from Middleton. Fusilier Lee Rigby was killed on the 22nd of May in Woolwich, southeast London. He'd been deliberately run down by Michael Adebolajo and Michael Adebowale. They drove a car into Fusilier Rigby before dragging him into the road, attacking him with knives and attempting to decapitate him with a meat cleaver. An eyewitness captured Adebolajo trying to justify his actions.
We must fight them as they fight us, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. By Allah, we swear by the Almighty Allah, we will never stop fighting you until you leave us alone.
Fusilier Rigby's family were left heartbroken.
Lee was a man who loved people. He had many friends growing up in Middleton. He believed life was for living, and he will be sorely missed by all who knew him.
In the days that followed the attack, there was a massive outpouring of shock across the country, including Fusilier Rigby's hometown, Middleton.
What words can you say about it? They got everything they wanted there, didn't they? Absolute disgust.
It's bad enough knowing that somebody's been killed, but when it comes home and so close, it hits people badly.
Despite a verdict in December, the family have had a long wait for sentencing. That's because of an appeal against life sentences, which only concluded last week. But today, the family of Lee Rigby will finally find out how long his killers will spend behind bars.
And that was Claire Freeman. She was actually absolutely spot on when she said the nation was shocked. We were all shocked when we saw the video on television and online. And we were all shocked when just listening to the audio. And even today, all these months later, it is shocking. But what's intriguing people is the length of time it's taken for this to reach a conclusion. Let's find out more about that aspect of it from Dr. Hannah Quirk, who's a lecturer in criminal law and justice at the University of Manchester. And I think, first of all, let me ask you why it's taken so long from these people being in court to a sentence being passed.
The court had to wait until there's been a series of human rights decisions, and they had to wait to find out if it was compatible with the Human Rights Act for whole life sentences to be imposed. There's been some debate as to whether or not that breaches people's human rights. So we've just heard from the Court of Appeal that their view is that a whole life tariff is compatible. So obviously the court would have been considering a whole life tariff in this case because it was a premeditated murder and it was carried out for political or terrorist ends.
This human rights issue gets people's back up, really, doesn't it? A whole life tariff, is that a breach of somebody's human rights? It goes to Europe, they say, yes, it is, or it could be. The court here says, no, it isn't. Is it going to continue to go backwards and forwards, or is that it?
I think human rights is getting a bad press at the moment. The European Court of Human Rights never said that whole life sentences breach somebody's human rights. What they said there had to be was a way of reviewing those sentences. They said it wasn't fair that a sentence could be imposed because it gave no
hope.
Yeah. Or possibility that somebody could change.
That is the essence of it. So no hope for the individual. That doesn't mean to say release is guaranteed at any point.
Absolutely not, right. No.
So it's a slightly semantic point then, isn't it, the argument, which has been blown out of proportion as a general theory.
I think it's an important point as well because, as I said, human rights is getting a very bad press. It's the 80th anniversary of Liberty this week. And cases like this, people are very shocked by that. They're horrifying cases, but they shouldn't be used to give human rights a bad press. And some of the reporting around this case hasn't been entirely fair.
OK. And that's a fair comment. So the delay of sentencing because of that whole human rights issue in the Court of Human Rights, and now our courts have made their decision. So this court, the judge, is Honour Sweeney, I think he's called. Mm-hmm. He will be imposing a sentence today, and it's very unlikely, not that we want to speculate, but the decisions that have been made that you've just referred to will influence the sentence he passes, presumably.
Yeah, anybody who's convicted of murder automatically has to receive a life sentence since the death penalty was abolished. It's just how long they have to wait until they can be considered for parole, or, as is quite likely in cases that are motivated by terrorism, that it's a whole life tariff.
I'm surprised, I'm not surprised at the same time, that one of the guys, Adebolajo, has lodged an application to appeal against his conviction. Does that surprise you?
He's entitled to do that, and obviously his defence was that he was committing, he had a defence for murder and that it was committed for political ends. The trial judge was obviously unimpressed by that, and the jury. I can't see how that forms a legal ground of appeal. He can try, and obviously everyone who's convicted is entitled to the right of appeal.
Right, let's talk about that entitlement, because you know as well as I do, Hannah, that everybody in this country was saying, why are we going through the expense and the time and the trouble and the angst to try these people in this way when we have seen what they have done? They filmed it and they showed the nation.
Because we're a country that's governed by the rule of law, and in this case, yeah, it seemed very clearly that obviously what they had done, they wanted people to know what they'd done. There could have been a defence for that. For instance, somebody, and I'm not saying this is true in this case, but for instance, somebody who had mental health issues. These things need to be explored in courts. Everybody knew the Birmingham Six were guilty when they were convicted, and clearly that was very wrong. We have to have trial procedures in place. These are really hard cases. We should not change the legal system around them.
OK, thank you very much indeed. Dr. Hannah Quirk, lecturer in criminal law and justice at the University of Manchester.